Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
If you're just joining us, we've been in a series Sunday mornings going through the book of Acts, and I think it's kind of neat even as we think about the series that they're launching Sunday nights on the church and why gather and stuff like that, we get to see how the early church began and we see all the things that they had to deal with and all the interesting situations that they had to respond to. And today we're going to be looking at another one of those kind of unusual stories in the Bible. And the guy that we're going to be focusing on today is commonly known in the Bible as Simon the Sorcerer. Sounds like something like you would dress up like on Halloween or something like that. But as we've been going through the book of Acts, last Sunday was Easter Sunday, and we looked at the last part of chapter 7 and the first part of chapter 8, where we focused on the great persecution that was breaking out against the early church, including the stoning of Stephen, one of the church's first deacons. Faye Schellenberg talked about him a couple of weeks ago as well. And we were also introduced to Saul, who we're going to hear more about in the days ahead, who we discover in chapter 7 and 8 began to get involved in the actual destruction of this young church. And isn't it interesting that when God begins something, that there's typically, it's not uncommon for there to be adversity to try and stop it. Have you ever noticed that? When God begins to do a good work in someone's life, or when a young church is being planted, or when a new ministry is being birthed, such as our evening service, it's not uncommon to have adversity. And we see in the early church, we see adversity coming again and again. But what I love is the fact that God often uses adversity to actually help propel the church forward. And all of that resistance, God will use it to help the people overcome. Last Sunday, our primary theme was about how the early church overcame. And Easter Sunday was a great Sunday to talk about how Jesus overcame the grave and how that the resurrection power was in the early church, in the early church. And we saw how they overcame offense. We looked at, the story of Stephen and how as he was dying, as he was being stoned, he said, "Father," he said, "do not hold this against them." And we see offense being overcome. We see fear being overcome. Saul is terrorizing the church. And yet, they didn't allow fear to stop them from going forward. We see how, last week, we looked at how prejudice and racism was overcome. And we also see how impossible situations were overcome. And so, we're not going to read it this morning, but in verses 4 through 8, because of all of this persecution, opposition, we find the church now spreading into Samaria. And in verses 4 to 8, we find Jesus is being preached. You know what? You'll never go wrong when you preach Jesus, no matter what's going on. If we can just continue to preach Jesus and lift up Jesus, we're going to be good. We find in these verses that revival was breaking out. There were signs and wonders and miracles and healings. And as a result of that, verse 8 says, "And there was great joy in the city." We said last Sunday, whenever Jesus shows up, there's joy. And we want to be a church, as we gather together, a place where joy is evident, where the joy of the Lord is evident in our gatherings, where we can worship with joy, where we can overcome with joy, where we can celebrate with joy, where we can go through adversity even with joy. And now we come to verse 9, and we're going to pick up this story of this guy by the name of Simon, who the Bible says practiced sorcery. Let's follow along. Most of the scriptures will be on the screen behind us as well if you don't have a Bible, but in your Bible or on your iPhone or wherever. Verse 9, it says, "And now for some time a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great. Well, that's right there, that's a warning sign, isn't it? If you ever come across someone who's bragging about who they are or what they can do, and they're trying to get your attention, they're trying to get you to follow them, bragging is never an indication of God's presence in someone's life. And all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, "This man is rightly called the great power of God." Interesting, isn't it? He was rightly called the great power of God. And they followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his sorcery. Now, how many know that, and we're probably all very similar, most people are attracted to power. I remember as a teenager, I remember getting my first car and going to school, and we pulled into the high school parking lot, and maybe some of you guys remember that. I imagine Dan probably remembers that. Maybe they still do this in high school, I don't know, but pull into the high school, and guys would have their cars kind of lined up in their parking lot, and they'd be revving the engines, and everyone was kind of attracted to those powerful engines. And I remember coming in with one of my, I had a 1949 Ford. And in reality, the thing didn't actually run that great, but boy, it sure sounded good. I could come into the church or into the school parking lot, and I could go. The reality is, I had this big giant hole in the muffler, but it sounded really, really good. It sounded cool, and you know, people were attracted to power. It's why thousands of people in the Comox Valley will go to the air show in the summertime when we have it out there. And what is it they're waiting for? They're waiting for those big F-18s to take off, aren't they? Because of the power, the sound, they see them shoot into the sky, you know, out of sight, and the power that just is evident. People are attracted to that. And what we see here is people were attracted to this guy by the name of Simon as he was practicing his sorcery. He was kind of like a power celebrity, kind of like some of the politicians that kind of, you know, become very famous. It's like power. People just want to be able to show they have power. And this guy, Simon, he claimed to be someone great. He was known as the great power of God. The whole reality is he was deceiving people all the way along. Part of sorcery was people were involved in some aspect of the occult and spiritism, and demonic spirits would be behind much of this kind of stuff. They would use the magical arts. They would use delusion and deception. We're not talking about pulling rabbits out of a hat and a sleight of hand, that type of thing. This was stuff where they were receiving their power not from God, but rather Satan. Satan actually gives power to people. And people tap into this power, and it can often be a counterfeit. It can look like something like God. It can look like something good. In reality, it's anything but. And so Simon here was using these powers that be to actually draw attention to himself, to actually have a following, and he relished the following. He relished the crowds. He relished the attention that he was getting. And here's another one of the marks of satanic power is that, one, it's tied to deception, and it's often very self-focused. This guy, Simon, it was all about, look at me. Look how good I am. Look how great I am. And chances are he was actually using it for monetary purposes too. One thing that we need to know is that power, and you might want to write this down, power without truth is dangerous. How many know what I'm saying? Power without truth is dangerous. Power from God is about truth. What does the Bible say? Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." The Bible says that you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. A lot of times these guys, when it came to their sorcery, they would have people actually buy from them in order that they could actually get their spiritual claws into them. And they would become almost, in many ways bound to these sorceress. And what was happening, though, here in this city in Samaria is that people were breaking free from his control, Simon's control, and they were actually now finding Jesus who had come to set them free. But before I go any further, let me just say this also, because I believe in many ways we are living in the last days. Jesus actually warned, one of the things he said in Matthew 24, you might want to jot these scriptures down, Matthew 24, verse 4, Jesus says, "Watch out that no one deceives you." He also said in the same, he said, "False Christs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect if that were possible." Now, the reason that sometimes we don't notice what's going on around us, and sometimes it's hard to recognize, is this of God or is this not of God, is because deception is often very much part of it. And sometimes we really have to discern and ask God to really show us, is this something that we should be paying attention to or not? In fact, 1 John 4:1 says, "Test the spirits to see whether they are of God or not." Reality is, not all power is from God. Satan has power. Satan, the Bible says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in high places. There are spiritual forces that are in our world today that are not of God. They're not from God. And they are alive and active. And the Bible says we need to be watchful and careful that we don't get taken in. And that's what was happening here with Simon. People were being taken in. But it kind of looks like Simon had a little bit of a change of heart. At least on the surface, it appears to be. So let's pick it up at verse 12. It says, But when they believed Philip, as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, it says, and they were baptized, both men and women. And then it says in verse 13, Simon himself believed and was baptized. Interesting. And he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. Interesting stuff, isn't it? Simon, people are coming to know Jesus. And it appears on the surface that Simon is having this change of heart. He's having this come to Jesus encounter. And it says he begins to believe. He was baptized, and now he is following, and he is greatly astonished by the signs and miracles that he saw. I guess the question we have to ask ourselves as we continue in this story this morning is, what was really going on in Simon's heart? Did he really believe in Jesus? I guess that's another question. Did he really have a change of heart? Was he really committing his life to Christ for the right reasons? Was he really being baptized in water for the right reasons? Well, we'll find out. Let's carry on. So there's revivals breaking out. People are coming to Christ. Baptisms. People are believing. And eventually what happened, we find that back in Jerusalem, back at headquarters, the apostles began to hear what was going on in Samaria. They were hearing the good news. They were hearing the reports. Messengers were going back to Jerusalem and were saying, people are getting saved. Miracles, healings, all kinds of things, good things are going on. People are getting baptized. How many know, again, when Jesus is at work, people start to hear about it? And as we trust God, as we believe God for our city, we're going to believe that people are going to come to Christ. We're going to see baptisms. We're going to see people being set free. And the good news is going to get out. I love that last song that we sang, James, about we need to shout it out from the mountaintops. We need to shout out the good things of God and see people experience what we have come to experience. And so, verse 14, following along in the story. And when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. Peter and John were a couple of the apostles. And when they arrived, They prayed for the new believers there that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now this is kind of where it starts to get interesting. Look at verse 18. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money. And he said, "Give me also this ability so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." This is where you start to get a little bit of an indicator of Simon's heart, really what was going on in his heart. You see, Simon was really interested. He was really interested in Philip, really interested in the miracles and the signs and wonders and all that kind of thing. Now we find Simon really interested in the apostles, Peter and John, as they show up. And see, these people had come to know Jesus. Many of them had been baptized. But the Bible says they had not yet been filled with the Holy Spirit. They had not yet received the Holy Spirit. And so when Peter and John comes along, and they start to lay their hands on these people, and people started to receive the Holy Spirit. And obviously, now we're not exactly told what happened here, but obviously what was happening was there was some kind of evidence. There was some kind of sign to Simon, because he saw something was happening as these people were receiving the Holy Spirit. Something, there was an outward sign. Something was happening. And for Simon, he thought, this is pretty cool. Like, I want this power. I want what Peter and John have. Now, there's nothing wrong with wanting the power of God so that we can bless people. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with being able to lay hands on people and see them healed and get well, and to see people come to know Jesus, and to see people filled with the Holy Spirit, because God uses us as an instrument. But there was something about Simon, you had to suspect his motives, in that he was wanting this not for God's glory, but for his glory. And so he somehow thought that if he offered money, because that's kind of the strategy that he used in getting his followers, he would say, "You give me some money and I will exercise some of my sorcery on you, and you will benefit from what I have." And so there's always this exchange of money going on. And here Simon is offering money, thinking somehow that he could buy this gift. How many know we cannot buy the gifts of God? And the title of this talk today is Not for Sale. The gifts of God are not for sale. Salvation, your coming to Christ, knowing Jesus and experiencing his forgiveness and the gift of salvation in your life, that is a gift. A gift is not something that you purchase for yourself. Jesus paid the price so that you can experience all that he has for you. The Holy Spirit is not a commodity for sale. The coming of the Holy Spirit upon a person's life is not for our glory, but it's for God's glory. But somehow Simon thought he could buy these gifts from God. Now let me just say something quickly, just as to reference this, when it comes to giving, when it comes to, because as the church, we are called to give. We are called to bring our tithes and our offerings to God. But the thing we need to remember is that we don't give to God. We don't bring our tithes and offerings to God for the purpose of trying to get something from God. Now we see the principles of God where we can experience his blessing and his favor on our lives and so on. But that is not the motive. That is not the reason that we give. We don't give to get. But when it comes to giving correctly is about honoring God. And so when we talk about receiving our tithes and offerings, we're saying we're going to honor the Lord with our giving. It brings honor to God. We're saying, "God, you've blessed me. You've given so much to me. You've given everything to me. And as a reflection of my heart and my thanksgiving, I want to honor you. I want to return. I want to worship you by returning to you a portion of what you've given to me. That's what correct giving is all about. It's about honor. It's about worship. It's about expressing our love to God. It's about being thankful to God. It's about trusting God, saying, God, you are my provider. You are my source. Malachi 3 says, to prove me, test me, and see if I won't open up the windows of heaven. God wants to bless us. God wants to pour out a blessing upon her. But it's never, the motive is never that I can buy from God. I can buy the gifts that he has for us, the blessings that he has for us. And so let me encourage you as a teaching moment. When we give, let's give correctly. I want to bless you with my life. And so here's this situation with Simon. He loves what he sees. He loves seeing these people, you know, whether they spoke in tongues or prophesied, or maybe there was laughter or there was manifestations that came upon them. He just thought this was pretty cool. If I can just lay hands on people, they're going to receive the power of God, you know? Simon was worried about losing his market share. He was worried about losing his followers, and he thought, if I could just have what Philip had, it's going to benefit me. But look at Peter's response to Simon, verse 20. Are you with me? Verse 20. It says, and Peter answered, I love the Bible because they don't mince words. It's not about being politically correct. Peter just said, you know, like he says, you know, he's just been asked, would you give me this ability? I'll pay you for it. I'll pay anything. Just name your price. And Peter says, may your money perish with you because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. And then he says, you have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right before God. Now, those are pretty strong words, aren't they? I love, though, and this is even stronger, Philip's, and this is actually a closer translation to what Peter actually said in Philip's translation. He says, to hell with you and your money. Now, we might not say that to someone who comes into our office and we're having this discussion over, but it even felt weird for me to say that, you know? But just those, in essence, that's what Peter was saying. He's saying, to hell with you and your money. Now, that is not exactly being seeker-friendly and how to get a following for Jesus. He says, how dare you think that you could buy the gift of God? You have no place or you have no share or place in this ministry, for your heart is not honest before God. Strong words. And, you know, again, I think it just really challenges us that when it comes to following Christ, when it comes to experiencing all that God has for us, friends, you know, what God is actually looking for is the weak and the powerless. We sang about it a few minutes ago. He's looking for people who are willing to come before him with a humble heart and willing to simply receive from a repentant heart. We'll say more about this in a moment. Look at verse 22. So Peter continues to counsel Simon. He says, you need to repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord in the hope that he may forgive you for having such an evil thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin. You see, interesting, Peter, he had this discerning of spirits. Peter, the apostle, he saw through all of this stuff that was going on in Philip's life. Not Philip's, but Simon's life. He could read Simon like a book. And I believe that part of that came from the gifts of the Holy Spirit that were resident in Peter's life. And there's times when people, God actually, you know, prophetic voices, people can actually read into someone's life and they can see what's really going on. Peter could see what was really going on in Simon's life. And the reality is, you know, we may be able to deceive some people. Simon thought he could deceive people, only to discover that someone was there who could see through the whole thing. How many know that even if I can't see what's going on in your heart, even if your spouse or your small group leader or that trusted friend can't see what's going on in your heart, the Bible says that God sees the heart. And we can't run from that, folks. We can't escape it. God sees the motives of our hearts. And so Simon now is being convinced. Simon is not quite getting his hearing. But even in verse 24, you get this sense that Simon is not quite getting this correctly. Look at verse 24. It says, and Simon, we see Simon's response. Simon answered, pray to the Lord. Now he's replying to Peter. Pray to the Lord for me, so that nothing that you have said will happen to me. He's just heard, go to hell, you and your money. That's what he's just heard. Your heart is not honest. And basically, the judgment of God had just come upon Simon. And he missed the very fact that Peter had actually already given him a little bit of a way out by simply repenting. And Simon, somehow again, we see him missing out on his own personal responsibility. Simon had just heard, you need to repent. You need to turn to God. You need to have an honest heart. And Simon just simply says, pray that I escape somehow all the things that you said are going to happen to me. Pray that I not perish. That sounds good, but on the surface, he's missing the point. See, the reality is, nobody can repent for your sins except for you. I can't repent for you. Your parents can't repent for you. Your spiritual leaders can't repent for you. Only you can repent for you. Only you can pray for God's grace and forgiveness to come over you. And what we see here is Simon wanting someone else to do it for him. Pray this doesn't happen to me. Pray that I somehow escape the consequences of my sin. And there's people today that they, when you're a pastor, you hear all kinds of things. You know, I'll go and have coffee sometimes with people, you know, in the restaurant or whatever. We'll end up having these conversations, and I know a lot of times people they mean well. I understand what they're thinking, but they're not followers of Jesus. But they sometimes jokingly will say to me, you know what, just kind of put a good word in for me, Dave. You know, like somehow they think that I have this direct line to heaven, and I often will get that, you know, like some old guy that I spend time with, and he'll say, yeah, Dave, just, you know, would you just put a good word in for me? Like, no, you get it, you put a good word in for yourself. I'm going to start getting bolder, I think. But the reality is people can get deceived. They somehow think that I can accept Christ for you. Or they somehow think that I can receive for you. When in reality, the only way we can receive from God is we need to receive ourselves. And it's one of the calls, it's one of the challenges, it's one of the beautiful privileges that we have, is that, you know, God will not take your free will away from you. God has given you and those that you love around you a free will. One of the ways that we can, in our sharing Christ with others, is to encourage them that you need to receive Christ. You need to accept this free gift. You need to respond to God's love. I can't do it for you. And no amount of money is going to make it happen. And so quickly, just as we close this morning, just some ways of how we can receive from God. Just some takeaways from today. Number one, we receive from God by his grace and through faith. I love the scripture on the front of your bulletin this morning. It says in Ephesians 2:8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of works, for it is the gift of God." How many are thankful for God's scandal of grace that we sang about earlier? We serve a scandalous God who actually just resists any idea that we have to earn our way to salvation or earn our way into the gifts of God. He said, no way, I'm not, they don't have to do it themselves. All they need to do is receive my grace and my forgiveness. The gifts of God this morning are not for sale. No amount of money can purchase your salvation. No amount of money can purchase the gifts of God. No amount of money can purchase the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life. No amount of money can purchase you, give you the ability to see the sick healed and the lame walk. No amount of money can do it. It's by grace and it's through faith that we receive from God. And the good news today is we've just come through Good Friday and Easter Sunday. The good news today is that Jesus paid it all. It's a song we sing sometimes. Jesus, the Bible says we were bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Let's give him thanks right now. Thank you, Jesus. We were bought with a price, and it's by grace and through faith that we receive anything that is good that we can receive from God. It comes from him by grace. It has nothing to do with our own works or our own efforts or just, you know, being a church attender. You know, it's not about putting in our time and, you know, well, you know, gaining God's favor in that way. The reality is this morning that everything we receive from God is a result of his grace and his mercy and his love. And so we receive from God through the way of grace and faith. Secondly, we receive from God through repentance. I mentioned it already. This was Peter's call to Simon. You need to repent. You need to turn to God. That's what repentance is. It's turning to God. It's turning your heart over to God. It's going from one direction and moving in another. It's a complete about turn. It's a U-turn. We have some friends that pastor a church over in the Lower Mainland, and the name of the church is called U-Turn Church. I love it. That's just the name of the church. You know, there's so many different names for churches these days, you know. In the old days, you know, I think there was a franchise on names or whatever. But the name of their church is U-Turn. And the whole point of the church, the whole vision of the church is to bring people to a place where they could have this complete turnaround of their life. How many are thankful that you did a U-Turn? Many of you here this morning, you did a U-Turn. And it was a turn, your life had a turnaround, your life had a change, you had a change of heart. Peter was saying to Simon, you need to get your heart right. You need to get your motives right. You know, Simon, or I keep saying Simon, but because Simon Peter, Peter wasn't trying to write Simon off. He was just simply saying, if you repent and get your heart right, God wants to use you. And now we're not told what actually happened with Simon. We don't know what the end result of his life was. He didn't give any indication, at least in the story, that he had had a change of heart. But Peter gave Simon every opportunity, one, to repent, to have a U-turn, and to get his heart right with God. And friends, this morning, I want to just encourage you today that whoever you are, whatever circumstances you might find yourself in today, that one, God has good gifts for you. God wants to do something amazing in your life. God wants, if you're not a believer, if you're not a follower of Jesus Christ today, By grace, you can receive him today. By grace, you can open your heart to him. You can say, I want a U-turn of my life. I want to get my heart right with you. Some of you maybe have been wandering from God. Some of you have been drifting. Some of you, your motives, you've been following only for the good. You follow Christ just so you can get his blessings, but you really haven't followed him wholly. Your heart isn't completely right. You're not completely honest before God. And God is saying, today is a good day to get your heart right. Today is a good day to receive grace. And finally, we find when it comes to receiving from God, it requires full surrender. It requires a willingness to surrender the full control of our life over to God. I think this is partly what happened with Simon, is he didn't want to give up the rights to his life. He didn't want to give up the control of his life to God because he knew it was going to be bad for business. He somehow thought, you know what? I like this stuff that I'm getting from Philip and these apostles. But if it means that I'm going to have to give up my business, if I'm going to have to give up my power, my control over people, I don't know. I don't think so. But friends, I want to encourage you today that it's through surrender that we can experience all that God has for us. And I'm going to invite you right now just to bow your heads with me. James and the team, would you guys come back? I'd like us if we could just close this morning with that song that you guys did earlier on the Scandal of Grace. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God. Let's just thank him for his grace right now. God, we thank you for your grace. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, if you want to give the Lord a clap offering, go ahead. Thank you for your grace, Lord. We thank you for your mercy. I just want you just to bow your heads right now. My encouragement to you this morning as we come to a conclusion, that there may be some of you here today and today is a day where you're just saying, you know what, I need God's grace in my life. I know I could never earn, I could never buy, I could never purchase, I could never, through my own efforts, receive from God. But today, I receive God's grace. I receive his forgiveness. I receive his mercy in my life. Maybe for some of you, it might be the very first time. Some of you have never surrendered your life over to Jesus Christ. But today is a day, today is a good day to receive his unconditional love. It's not about you, it's about what he has done for you. And there's a grace of salvation. There's a grace that God is extending to you this morning. And that's you, if you say, I need God's grace today, just that's you this morning, would you just lift up your hands? Yes. How many others would say, that's what I need in my life today? How many others this morning? I need God's grace. I need his mercy. I need his forgiveness in my life. It's only through Jesus Christ that we receive this. You know, and it's so good because you don't have to walk out at the end and lay down your Visa card to say, you know, now I got to pay for what I've just received. It's already been paid for. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God, let's just thank him. Jesus, we thank you for your grace this morning. We thank you for your grace, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Some of you this morning, there may be some things in your life you need to have that U-turn. There's some things that perhaps today you need to get your heart right. Maybe there's some situations in your life that are just, you know, they're not right, and you just need to with God's help and His grace, you need to get some of those things right with Him. Maybe there's some things you've been holding on to control. You've been refusing to let go of that area of your life because maybe you've been afraid. Maybe you're afraid if I let go of that, you know, it means that I'm not going to be able to do some things that I've done in the past. But today, we're accepting you by grace, forgiveness. We're wanting to fully surrender. And with that, it just opens up the door for so much more that God has for us. Would you stand to your feet with me this morning? And let's just begin to sing the words, the truth of this song again. And let's thank Him for His grace. Let's thank Him for His mercy. Let's thank Him for His love. If there's an area that, again, you need repentance, surrender, let's press into that today. And allow God just to have His way in our lives this morning.
You done murdered for me on the cross, accused in absence of wrong, my sin washed away in your blood, too much to make sense of it all. I know that your love breaks my fall. The scandal of grace, you died in my place, so my soul will live. No, to be like you, give all I have just to know you. Jesus, there's no one beside. Forever the hope in my heart.
Can you imagine this morning if Simon would have had that kind of a heart? And maybe eventually he did. We don't know. I don't want to be too hard on him because eternity will tell the story. We might run into Simon and he'll say, you know what? It didn't get recorded, but I had a change of heart. But you know what? If our desire, if your desire as the people of God is just to say, Jesus, I want to know you more. I want to know more of your grace. I want to know more of your love. I want to know more of your power. But just remembering, keeping that humble heart and remembering that it's all about Him. Amen? It's all about Him. It's all about what He has done for us. It's all about that scandal of grace. And I want to encourage you as we go out today that you would be scandalous people and take that grace of God with you. Amen. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.